Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Today's show is another interview session, and I'd like to welcome to the show today Ms. Jody Free, a local entrepreneur. First of all, I'd like our listeners to know that I belong to several networking groups here in the Raleigh area, and Jody is in one of these networking groups. And Jody, I've talked to you before about your business, but let our listeners know what you do professionally.
I am the owner and CEO of Platinum Business Solutions. I've been in business going on, this is my 14th year. And I provide HR and recruiting services across the Triangle, North Carolina, Europe, and Asia. I consider myself a boutique recruiting firm.
Okay, and as you know, we've talked about it before, this show is all about inspiration, especially when it comes to helping entrepreneurs. With that in mind, tell us what gives you inspiration to do what you do.
Well, I felt this calling many years ago when I was working on my own in the corporate world, and I felt like I was reaching out and helping people with their careers and their job searches, but didn't necessarily get to do it at the level in which I wanted to and really connect with them. So I felt like there were morals and values and ethics in part of the universe that I wanted to share and have conversations with people. And in the corporate world, we're often in a rush to hire that right and perfect person, put a butt in a seat, per se, and get the job done versus giving the personal touch. And I felt like God was asking me to open my own firm and to do this on my own.
Okay. And I understand, too, you're from Ohio. And how long have you been in North Carolina?
I've been in North Carolina going on 21 years, actually, in February.
Okay. So you are officially a Tar Heel, I suppose.
I am.
Yeah, that's great. And also, you mentioned that you provide human resources consulting services. Is that correct?
Yes.
And could you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, we're a little different than other firms, even on the recruiting side. We connect and build a real connection and a relationships with the companies as well as the candidates that we work for. So from the company perspective, we really do all the work for them from the hiring perspective or the HR perspective on building that relationship. We're not the firm that sends over 10 resumes and says, hey, look through these and tell me what you're thinking, and then sends them back. We do all the work for them. We do the background checks, the reference checks, the whole screening, meet everyone in person, and then we're able to take that one imperfect candidate to that company.
Okay. And you may have mentioned this before, at least touched on it, but how did you decide, or why did you decide to start this kind of business as far as recruiting and that kind of thing?
Well, one of the positions and one of the companies that I was working for, I speak lightly about morals and values, but I think it's more and more important in the world that we have today. And one of the companies that I was running an agency for and hiring many people, which specialized in salespeople as a whole, had asked me to run this agency from the ground up. And I started, hired all the individuals and all the recruiters. And as I was working and looking at the P&L, I had many questions of things that maybe weren't so up and aboard. And I decided that that was not the job for me. So I gave up that opportunity. And sometimes we have to pray about it and then walk away from a situation that we may be making really good money and is a great opportunity. It seems as if that is at the time, but I made the choice to listen to the calling and go open my own business at that point.
Yeah, you mentioned prayer. I think that's very important. And by praying, you have that guidance that you need where you move in the right direction, because sometimes you don't know what direction to move into as you plan your business, as you attempt to move forward. So that brings me to another question, and that is about your faith. And how has your faith helped your business? And I'm assuming that it has.
Well, it helps my business every single day. If you see me driving down the road and you assume that I'm on my cell phone and the hands-free, I may be talking to God instead. I have lots of conversations because in my day-in and day-out job, I'm constantly asking for guidance because I'm meeting people that are troubled, that have been in jobs for long term. They're now more seasoned, we'll call individuals that are coming out, and they're looking for guidance to where to go next in their next career. And that's what I help people with, is their career. And so I often end up building relationships and have mentoring sessions and end up coaching and counseling. And I think through that, what I've learned over the years is that I don't get to necessarily always have that conversation, and I'm giving them some career guidance, but I feel like the higher being above is giving me the guidance that I need sometimes for that individual person, which has ended up being really cool. Because when I first started out doing this, quite honestly, I would think to myself, that's not me. Where did that come from? How did I know that and that information? And more I had to pray about it and trust that the right and perfect words will come out of my mouth and that I'll give that person the right guidance. And those relationships are built with people and clients that go on for long term, not just day in and day out. So I think that I rely on my guides and God and to be that co-partner in my business that I'm constantly, several times a day, having conversations with, quite honestly.
Most of us who claim of faith, our faith in God, it has not always necessarily been that way. In other words, there were times when you probably did not have the faith that you have now. As a matter of fact, we all grow in faith, in fact. So when was your first recollection of knowing about a supreme being that could help you, not necessarily in business, because I realize that you haven't always been in business. I assume that while growing up, you were not in business. You may have been exposed to people who were in business, but how did you come about knowing about God and how he can, in fact, help you in times of need?
Well, I grew up in a very loving community in Ohio, Carlisle, Ohio. That's between Dayton and Cincinnati, and it's a village. And today it actually has one stoplight. So it's still that very small, quaint. It's a farm, blue-collar town, and it's very small sense of community, which you don't see a lot anymore because we're in the cities, and people don't always take care of each other. And when I was growing up, there was a sense of community, and everyone took care of everyone. And my mother was quite ill when I was growing up. So at age of 14, I started my first job and started contributing to the household income. And that mentor, the person that owned that business at that time. His name was Cecil Hobbs. He's now deceased, but he was a great mentor to me. So him himself, along with the biblical of my community and my local church, which is Hillcrest Baptist Church, still going strong today, absolutely, that really embraced me, because that was a time in my life that, I'll be honest, when my mother passed when I was 16, I probably needed her the most. And it was a very difficult time. I was mad at God for a period of time, and I questioned why he would do this to me and why he would take her, because my mother was also praying every day for the strength and to get through. And it was a difficult time. But when I got to the other side of it, you know, God really was there for me every single day. I was supporting myself through most of that as an 18-year-old in high school and working. And I felt his presence around me on a regular basis, as well as just not that community and that mentor. But I watched that mentor and how he related to the people in the community as an entrepreneur. Because in the small town that I was from, there wasn't a whole lot there. And so he was the unspoken mayor, per se, that would give people guidance when they would come in. And that also was having a cup of coffee, sitting down with him, and teaching people about God as well in some of those conversations. So I would also overhear those conversations. And he also taught me, don't be afraid to have those conversations with people and be a little bit uncomfortable. You should be uncomfortable a little bit every day.
That's it. That's it. Well, I know in my case, thinking back, I haven't always had the awareness of a supreme being potentially affecting my life in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people are like that. They tend to go their own way without necessarily thinking about the help of God or some superior being as they go along. But as you experience life, you come to the point in many cases that you realize that there has to be someone that has helped you along the way because of the various challenges that you may have had. So, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a break right now, and we'll be back with our discussions with Ms. Free after the following messages.
Follow-up to my previous posting in reference to Life in the Spirit by Dr. William Porter. I must say that I was more than thrilled to meet with him yesterday to gain my own personally signed copy of this book. I must also say that from page one, I was captivated by his connections with practical living, real-life experiences to Scripture. And for me, that is a win-win situation. But look, just don't take my word for it. Actually, yeah, take my word. But also, take a look and read for yourself. Life in the Spirit, Dr. William Porter. You can also access more information online at www.williamporterlife.com. Happy readings!
Welcome back. Jody, before the break, we were talking about your profession and also about how faith has been involved in your success as an entrepreneur. This second half of the program, I'd like to delve into more specifics as far as instances when it was quite obvious to you that God was a part of your experience. And I know you've talked to me about some of those. Could you review maybe an experience or two where you knew without a doubt that God was there to help you in whatever situation you may have been in?
Well, I ask for signs a lot. Often, because I think sometimes we psych ourselves out by questioning really if God's there, if this is coincidental, did I just see that, or did that just happen to me, or was that God speaking to me? And so sometimes I'll ask for multiple signs just to give me what I'm looking for. And it always happens over and over. So I encourage people all the time. Have you asked for a sign on that? Did you get your answer? And almost everyone, I'll get text backs from friends that'll constantly say, I got it. I got my sign. And it's, you know, God has a sense of humor and he always comes in the funniest ways, whether it's, you know, I ask for a sign and it's the semi truck that's beside me and it has the message on it, or it's the next quote that I'll get on my email that'll be so targeted on. Like, wow, that was too cool in regards to it. But with meeting with people and specifically, you know, candidates, I have had the opportunity to coach and counsel them and, you know, share with them methods as well. And like you talk about when you're younger, you probably don't talk. I always was taught, you know, to pray in a very formal manner. And this is the way you do it. And I'll tell you today, it's just a conversation just like I'm having with you, which is much different. It's not in a formal setting like it used to be, and it's multiple times a day. And that's what I tell people also through coaching counseling is God's just out there. You can just have a simple conversation, just like we're having a conversation, ask and you shall receive. And so often I'll get people that'll come to me, they're desperate about looking for a particular job. They need a job right now. And obviously I want to help them, but I can't create the job. I can create, you know, the applicant and whatever. And I will ask God to open that perfect position if this is the right and perfect time for this person to have this position. Please open it up. Please, you know, identify it. And it happens all the time. It's amazing to me. It's amazing to others that are around me. My husband giggles all the time when he hears, you know, yep, guess what? I had that person. I was praying about it. And guess who called me today? And I'll tell him about the company that called and it's the right position. Because typically, you know, I have one person interview and they hire that person 99.9% of the time. So it would be the right and perfect fit, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, I was talking to my daughter this morning about the fact that a lot of times I believe we spiritualize a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to spiritualize as far as connecting with God and doing what we're supposed to do. And it's more common than I think that a lot of us, even believers, might think. She mentioned that integrity is essential, simply doing what you're supposed to do. If you have an appointment, keeping your appointment like you've done. If you can't do that, you call and let the person know that you can't come. Basically, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Very basic stuff that is certainly spiritual, but in many cases, we don't look at those kinds of common practical things as being spiritual. We think of other things as being spiritual, like maybe acting spiritual or carrying a Bible around so that other people can see that you're spiritual. I remember when I was teaching one time, I taught geography, for example, for a number of years, just for your information. And to make a long story short, I came into the classroom one morning. And it was a class of about 25 or 30 people, and most everybody had their textbooks on their desk. Preferably, I would have liked if they had them open. But anyway, this one student had instead a Bible, and he did have the Bible open. I think he wanted to make sure that I saw what he was doing. And it's just an example, I believe, of sometimes we want other people to see our spirituality when that's not necessarily being spiritual, at least what God would have us do. What God would have us do rather would be very practical, doing what you're supposed to do. And in this case of the student bringing a Bible to class, and I often tell people that he probably should have had his textbook open instead because he wasn't doing very well. But anyway, that's what he wanted to do. That's what he decided to do. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, anything else that you want to add as far as the practicality of promoting your faith?
I can give you the most simplest of terms of some cool things that I've had happen that some people will think is coincidental and others won't. I was doing some research and I was reading a book about Mother Mary. I grew up initially in the Southern Baptist faith and then kind of converted as I was older into Catholic. And as I was growing my faith, I was reading a book specifically on Mother Mary as I lacked a lot of knowledge in learning about her. And this book really intrigued me. And part of the book that day was, you know, just learning about her and the love and compassion that she has for people and how we can call upon her as also to pray on our behalf. And my husband and I got up that morning and went to the flea market here in Raleigh, and we were walking around, and I'm always just looking for nothing in particular. It was a beautiful day, and I walked up to this table, and there were many items, just kind of junk items all over the table. And as I looked at the table, there was this beautiful white, almost iridescent sculpture of Mother Mary in all of this rummage of junk. And I picked it up immediately and started looking at it. And it was just mesmerizing because of the sparkle in the sun. And this lady came over to me out of the blue. And she said, I've been waiting on you. And I kind of looked around and thought, no, you've been not waiting on me. And she said, no, I've been waiting on you. My friend went to lunch, but she said that you would be coming and that you would come over and come to our booth and walk straight up to this and pick it up. You would see Mother Mary's beauty, and I would know it when I saw you, and I was to give it to you. And this was something that you needed to have. Well, I had prayed that night also for a sign that I was on the right track of reading and doing the things that I had been doing, and I stood there. My husband, I think, was more shocked than I was. He couldn't believe what he was hearing from this lady. And she said, no, it's yours. You're supposed to have it. Please take it. And of course, I hugged her. I had tears in my eyes and she embraced me back. And she didn't know me from anyone. And we walked away. And I think not only was that a sign for me, but sometimes we give sign for others. And that was a faith sign because it was a difficult time that we were having with all kinds of finances and different things in our family. And I think that was God saying, okay, you need this. I'm going to give you this olive branch that you need today so that you can get through. Because that's not coincidental.
Yeah, sometimes God uses things and people even that you wouldn't think that he would use. And in your case, you mentioned the Mother Mary. Of course, we identify her with the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is a whole nother issue that we don't have time to get into. And as far as Catholicism. But well, that's great. Let's take one more break, and we'll be back to finish up the program. And stay with us.
Do you want to read some good news for a change? With all the things going on in the world today, it's refreshing to find good news. Well, Dr. William Porter has written three books that include a bit of intrigue, drama, and yes, a little romance, among other things in the storyline. So if you like biblically based, spiritually focused stories, do yourself a favor and read some inspiring accounts of people's experiences that may be considered extraordinary and in some cases, even miraculous. Dr. Porter has written three books based on real life experiences, some of which are his own, and others have been communicated to him from those who have agreed to share their stories. Life in the Spirit was his first book, which is a nonfiction collection of short stories documenting people's experiences that they believe to be unique, unusual, and what Dr. Porter calls extraordinary. Heaven Can't Wait is his second book, which is a fictional novel. A third book is another nonfictional account of a collection of short stories that is titled Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. For more information, visit the website williamporterlife.com. He also can be contacted at the email address waporter4995@yahoo.com. So do yourself a favor and read some good news for a change.
Welcome back. Jody, I really appreciate you being with us today. It's been very revealing, your business and how your business is connected to your faith. And as I said earlier, that's what the show is all about, providing inspiration and just knowing that there is a higher power that can help us in our business as well as in our personal lives. It's very inspirational and reassuring. One more thing that I'd like for you to touch on, we probably won't have time to get into it a whole lot, and that is the idea of miracles. And I know you've talked to me about a couple of stories that were just almost unbelievable, and we don't have, as I said, time to get into that now. But could you touch on that, the reality of miracles in your life, and how you feel about that?
Well, I've been blessed to see many miracles, and I believe they occur every day. My best friend, Suzette Faith Foster, had an accident, I think 13 years ago at Crabtree Lake, riding her bicycle. And she broke her neck. She had the same injury as Christopher Reeves. And I happened to be her emergency contact. So I got the call from Duke. They were care flighting her there. She was paralyzed from the neck down. And I met with the doctor, and he told me that this is what she was going to be, paralyzed and bare paraplegic. More than likely, she would be on a ventilator, and that it was a miracle that she was even alive. And the long story short, William, is that she had this surgery to connect her C1 and C2 back on her, basically her head back on her shoulders, I should say. And she was in ICU. And later on that night, she was off the ventilator and walked down the hall, free and clear of everything. So we prayed the entire time. She basically said to me, "Jody, I only want the people around me that believe and can see me dancing, walking, and purely healed." And that's the energy that we held. That's the focus that we had. We prayed over her, and that was the promise that I had made to her many years ago. But of course, you would never dream that something like this would happen. And we didn't cry. We didn't sob. We saw it happen. We believed. We had pure faith that God could heal her. And she is purely healed today. She has a book herself. She's a walking miracle. We have, you know, her doctor from Duke that also says, "Wow, this is scientifically, you know, shouldn't have happened. It's the same injury, Christopher Reeve," which we all know and love. And so I've saw a miracle. I was a part of that, and I saw what true healing and true faith can be.
Right, right. Christopher Reeve, by the way, was the Superman.
Yes.
Actor. That became paralyzed. Well, miracles do happen. My most recent book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, I talk about the various experiences that people have had that you might classify as being miraculous. And so it's definitely something that that occurs. And with Jody, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. And you have a last parting statement?
Well, it's been a pleasure being here, William, and I appreciate your listeners as well. And miracles do happen every day, and we should expect them, and we should ask for them.
That's true. expectation. That's the key. And again, I'd like to thank you for being here today. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.